Well, good morning. My name's Tim. I'm the pastor here. It's good to see you here this morning with us. You know, we have kind of a pattern we look at sometimes as leadership in attendance throughout the year. Easter is one of our biggest attended service. We tend to Christmas is a good attended service. Probably the third best attended service is daylight savings when you get another hour to sleep. So thank you for sleeping in and still making it to church. You've done really well. You know, this morning at the 9 o'clock hour, I did not mention anything about anything sports related. I didn't say a word. And they're just glutton for punishment because that many people come up to me afterwards. So I'm just making a bet with you. We don't typically bet a lot with the churches, you know. But next Saturday, if you win your home game next week, I will wear my Penn State gear. But if Indiana wins, I'm just saying, you might want to order something in time to wear it next week because you're going to wear it next week. And if you don't care at all about any of it, wear it anyway. We're making that pack together. Big game next weekend. We'll see, right? We had a couple of friends that are friends of ours that we've known for nearly 30 years come and visit with us this past week. It was a real joy to be able to catch up with them. And, you know, we have a lot of things in common. We know their parents are still alive got to know them 30 years ago. And this particular couple that came to visit has girls that are our girls' ages, you know, and so we were kind of that same parenting stage many years ago when we were first starting out, and so we had a lot to catch up on, a lot to share together and talk about, and when you've known people like that for a long time, there are a lot of memories you have of things that you've done or experienced, and a lot of things have changed, and so we compare how life is now as we thought when we got to this stage, right, in life, we're finally done with the parenting stage and taking care of our kids. And all four of us realized when we're sitting in our living room talking that we're now just taking care of our parents. And so the role has kind of shifted a little bit. And nothing wrong with that. But it's just, life is kind of like that, isn't it? And here's really what's been on my mind lately. The older that I get, the more I tend to get cranky with things, right? Because they're not how they used to be. I get nostalgic about how things used to be. And especially when it comes to my family, I wish my girls were still little, you know, and running around the house. And now I'm looking forward to the grandkids being little and around the house as well. But there's something about being nostalgic about the past. Author Jonah Goldberg writes these words. Nostalgia, he says, is a terrible guide, because it tends to take progress for granted and replaces feelings for memory. Isn't that true in our lives? When you look back at how things were 30 years ago, maybe for some of you, you need to go more like 50 years ago, but 30 years ago, you know, you think about how things were back then, you tend to hang on to the feelings that are associated with those things. When in reality, things were not better 30 years ago. You're just imagining them because you're depending on feelings. We all get caught up in that. And notice that he doesn't suggest that nostalgia itself is bad, but misusing it as a guide, thinking that things today should be like there were. Now, I'm in agreement with you that in many things we've lost our way as a nation. In many ways, our families are losing their way a bit. But that's a need for Christ, not for it to be the way it was 30 years ago. There are other things I can name that were not so great 30 years ago that the Lord needed to sort out with us, right? As we enter into this Thanksgiving season, one of the pitfalls of practicing thankfulness is kind of taking that moment and looking back. I should do that this direction for you. Looking back to the way things were and becoming too nostalgic about those things, or equally as bad as looking off to the future and sort of convincing ourselves, maybe subconsciously, that, you know, we're going to be thankful once we arrive there, once we get something or achieve something or get to a certain place in life. Scripture teaches us to plan for our future, of course, and it teaches us to process the past and learn from it. But if we miss living here in the now, then we're going to miss out on the real version of thankfulness that God wants in our lives, which is not just saying that I am thankful, it's living it out. And for that, we want to turn to the Psalms. If you've got your Bible here, if you don't mind turning over to Psalms chapter 100, if you've got your Bible app, you can open that. If you've got the church app, which I encourage you to download, you can get the Bible app in there as well. Psalm 100, we're going to read through this entire psalm. It's a wonderful Thanksgiving psalm. It's only 5 verses long. And this is what the psalmist writes. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Notice how many actions there are in this one psalm, 5 verses. How much action is going on here? Make noise. Come in. Enter his gates. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks and bless him. It's a psalm that's calling us to action. And don't just think it's don't just think about, you know, meditate on it. This is a Hebrew call to worship. It requires the whole body dancing, singing, playing instruments, clanging our cymbals. I don't even own cymbals. The church does. Somewhere in the back, we'll dig them out. Maybe we can do that together. We're a contemporary church. We had drums up here and electronic cymbals, I suppose, but we don't have our little clacky cymbals and things like that. Maybe you ought to do that more often. The psalmist calls us to make noise when we're thinking about the Lord and praising him. But notice also in that psalm, notice the tense of the language being used, T-E-N-S-E. What is the tense? Is it past or is it present or is it future? Notice that all those actions are present right now, the response to have thankfulness right now. And it's not just that. He also uses the present tense for all that God has done, the blessings of God that lead us to be thankful. The Lord, he is God, not was. We are his. Can I hear an amen to that? We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The Lord is good. His love endures forever in the sense that it's not only now, but it goes on forever. God's goodness is now, in the present. Our thankfulness, that response that we have, is also now, in the present. This psalm was written probably in the 10th century BC, and yet it speaks to us in 2025 to worship God in the same way. Here's the problem. I feel like today we suffer from what I like to call contentment dysphoria. There's a dissonance between living in this modern technological age. We have all the benefits of abundant health and abundant wealth and abundant, just a general, you know, abundance of everything, right? Food, shelter, everything. Maybe more so than any other generation in history. And yet, we tend to be discontent. We tend to struggle with depression and anxiety and mental health and a general, at least, dissatisfaction with life. Maybe that even more than any other previous generation. Now, we're not making light of those things. We know that we thankfully have improved in the way we look at these things. Many people suffer from anxiety and depression and difficult times in life, and we need to have help with that, and prayer and medical support and counseling and all those things. It's all wonderful. But there is a reason. There is a reason why we live in such an affluent time in society, while at the same time we suffer so much from dissatisfaction or difficulties. The psalmist reminds us that there is a spiritual treatment to that. For the general condition of discontentment, there is a spiritual treatment, and that is to focus on God's goodness in the now, so that we can thank him in the now. James reminds us of the same thing, and he writes chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Psalm 100 tells us that recognizing that should drive us to worship. And worship is for God's sake, not ours. Right? I've used this quote before, and I'll mention it again. Somebody mentioned to a preacher one time that they didn't really appreciate the worship this morning. It seemed a little bit off tune. It wasn't really the songs that this person wanted, and it was just a little tough to get through, and they were complaining to him about it, and he turned to them and said, "That's okay, we weren't worshiping you." That's a tough one, isn't it? We're not here. We may not sing the hymns like you want, or we may not do the whole lasers and fog and rock band like other churches. Whatever that is, it can't be about us, right? Because worship is only directed vertically. It's not about us. It's about our good God. And worship and gratitude are always connected, aren't they? You know, someone once explained that they explained worship in this way. Imagine describing your best friend. Think about who your best friend, even if you have to think about when you grew up. Imagine describing your best friend to someone else, and then contrast that with describing the most irritating person in your life to someone else. There's a difference in how you would go about and how that conversation would go. And the point was this. Lastly, explain how you would describe God to someone else. How do you explain God in your life? How do you describe that to someone else? How I describe God to someone else is how I worship him. Because I'm proclaiming out of my own worship when I'm singing or when I'm praying or when I'm living life, but I'm also proclaiming it publicly to everybody around me. How I describe God to someone else is how I worship him. I'm not talking about how I sing on a Sunday morning or how I tell others about the God of the Bible or what Jesus means to me personally. All those are wonderful things. I'm talking about my life as a whole. My attitude matters. My gratitude matters. The manner in which I live my life with joy is the way that I'm describing the Lord to myself and to everybody who hears me and sees me. By joy, we're not talking about putting a happy smile on your face when things are really bad. Joy means something much deeper to those who belong to Jesus the King. Joy means a genuine contentment in who we are in Jesus, regardless of what's going on around us. So that, we've been talking about the gospeler. We based it on a six-week study on a book called The Gospel. Or if you haven't read and want a copy of that, they're available at the Welcome Center. You can still read through that. It's not too late, even though we finished that off last week. But that Gospel or series that we did was all about proclaiming to others, right? This general sense that when Jesus saves us, he saves us for our own sake, but he also saves us for a mission. We are supposed to tell somebody else. We're supposed to share that news. We don't bring them to church to have somebody else talk to them. You don't bring them to me because I'm the pastor. That's not how this is supposed to work. All of us are gospelers. But you can see in what we're picking up, even though we're entering into a different series and a different time of year where we're talking about thankfulness, aren't they connected? Isn't what we do with this message connected to how effective we are at being a gospeler? Because how I live my life influences other people. We've all known those people, you know, who are like, well, you know, Republicans and Democrats get their stuff in order. All the, you know, snap ended this weekend, and we're just watching one channel or the other, getting all worked up over it. I'm guilty of that too. You know, the road people getting in my way on the road, because that's the only reason they're out there is to get in my way, right? Or this, you know, I'm convinced that my grandchildren will be lucky to see I-99 and I-80 connected the way they ought to be. And I grumble about that, and I complain about that all the time. But is that kind of how I'm living life? Is it a life of gratitude and thankfulness and deep joy and contentment in who I am in Christ and putting everything in perspective of that? Or is it one that's grumbly all the time? And if you don't know somebody in that, in your life who's like that, because we all kind of think of that person, you know, if you don't know who that is, it's probably you. And people are thinking of you right now when we're thinking of the people in our lives that are kind of like that. Is that the representative of a worshiper according to Psalm 100? That we live our lives in such a way that we're not just saying it with our mouths, we're living it out. You ever tried to make somebody's day special to somebody else? Somebody's day special. Somebody in your life, maybe a boyfriend, a girlfriend, maybe a spouse, maybe a child, maybe even just a best friend. And the occasion could be a birthday or an anniversary. It could just be, you know, an accomplishment that they had. You want to make that special for them. And you put a lot of time and effort into that day. Maybe you start with breakfast. Maybe breakfast in bed if you're in the same house. And you have special things you do all day, and you plan their favorite event, you paid for everything, and maybe even finish it off with a beautiful meal. You even prepared yourself to make them feel special. All that coming together just for their day. Now imagine at the end of that day, you ask them how they felt about their day. What did they think about that? And they respond to you with, well, I've had better days. Or, you know, we used to do that stuff when I was a kid. It was a whole lot better back then than it is now. Or, you know, I guess it was good, but I can't stop thinking about how terrible yesterday is or how terrible tomorrow will be, or both. You'd be devastated, wouldn't you? You'd be angry, too. You'd be all of those emotions when you've tried to give them everything you could. Imagine how the Lord feels when he has given us so much. God loved this world so much that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, to die on that cross for our sins and to give us a chance of a relationship with our Father again, our Creator. He went through the ends of the earth. He went through all of history, putting it together and weaving together the story so that we might discover that rescue plan that he has for us. And those of us who are Christ followers, those of us who've stepped into a relationship with Jesus, do we need anything else out of life? Isn't everything else gravy after receiving salvation that we still don't deserve, but it's everything we need? Everything else is icing on the cake, isn't it? And we respond sometimes with, well, you know, Lord, I've had better days. where it was a whole lot better life was, you know, 30 years ago when we used to do it that way, where I can't stop thinking about what happened yesterday or last week or last year, where I can't stop obsessing over and worrying about the bad things that'll happen tomorrow or next week or next year. We serve and belong to a God who is good to us. Jesus told us in Matthew 7:11, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We're called to make a joyful noise because of what God has done. We're called to come into his presence with singing and enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And I don't think that means that we walk in this building. I think it means tomorrow morning when my feet hit the floor, I am entering his gates with thanksgiving. I am living this life appreciative of him and all that he's done. So how do we get out of this rut of not doing that? Because I'm there with you. I fall in that rut as well. How do we show God that we appreciate what he's done for us? How do we live lives that are thankful, lives of thankful worship? Here's a reality check for us. Those of us who are older, and I'm using air quotes, you can choose to step inside those quotes or not. Those of us who will stop complaining about how things are now compared to how they used to be. They aren't as great as you think they were. But more importantly, start embracing the gratefulness that we have at the blessings of the here and now. Amen? And those of us who are, air quotes, younger, some of you need to get out of these quotes. Some of you belong in them. Those of us who are younger, stop missing the blessings that are right here and now because we're so focused, right, on getting to the next step, the next stage in life, the next accomplishments, some place I get to that I'm finally going to be grateful. That's kind of what we're saying to the Lord. Instead, embrace the opportunities you have now. They're not always going to be there. Enjoy it and praise the Lord in it. Parents, you know, when you've been fighting with your little ones to get them here and they have been rotten all morning, and then they come in here and they give me a big smile and I melt and you're about to lose it. You know, look, we know. We've been there before. We notice. But we are thankful for you. We are thankful for them. And we're thankful for a God that brought us together in this church family. We're never going to complain about them making noise through communion on the first Sunday of the month. We're not going to. We're too grateful for that. College and high school age students, I'll call you. Don't squander the freedom and excitement that you have as a young person and the whole world that's in front of you. These young parents that we've been just talking to, it hasn't been that long ago they were you. And they sometimes wish they could go back and appreciate those years a bit more than they do. You know, we all have the phrase, grass is always greener on the other side, isn't it? Well, at least that's how we sometimes live. When I'm young, I long for the days I finally can have the freedom of the adult. And when I'm an adult, I long for the days when I can finally be finished with work and retire. And when I'm retired, I look back and long for the days of my youth. And so it goes. And if we're not careful, we're going to continue to waste all time and our energy and our thoughts on trying to live in the past or trying to live in the future while the writer of Ecclesiastes begs us to live in the now. Worshiping God in the now. For a follower of Jesus, living in the now means recognizing the blessings that God has placed in front of us. Because that drives us to thankfulness. And thankfulness is what drives us to worship because they're always connected. And worship is why we were created. To be in a relationship with him. forever. Isn't that what Jesus died to accomplish? I want to challenge you as we go throughout this series. Each week, pick one blessing that God has given you and thank him for it in a different way every single day. Pick that one thing each week, just one thing. And every day, do something a little bit different. Maybe you sing to him one day. Maybe for some of you, you should just keep that in the shower. That's fine. But sing to him pray or write it out, draw if you're so inclined. Or maybe instead of those things, maybe you're like, I am not gifted in the arts. That's fine. Perhaps you look at a different aspect of why you're thankful for that one thing that you've chosen for that week. But I think that would be a good exercise for us, don't you think? In making sure that we're pausing enough to be thankful fully for how much God has really given us. You know, when you think about what it is that we do here each week, when you think about what we talk about in the scripture that we read, when you think about the communion table that we gather around, when you think about the songs that we sing together, some in tune, some not, doesn't matter, does it? When you think about what we do here as a congregation, it really is just a microcosm, isn't it, for how we ought to be living our lives in the first place? Nobody's challenging you to get up every single morning and, you know, lay out the bread and the cup and have communion. That's not what we're talking about. But shouldn't we commune every day, at least? Nobody's saying that you have to, you know, get out your old hymn book and formally sing, you know, in the shower or anywhere else, you know, in your house and make that form. But are you singing to the Lord? Do you sing in your car maybe when you're alone? Do you sing in your spirit even when you're not doing anything vocally? These things that we do together, they're meaningful to us. And we long for, I hope, the day when we are able to gather together and worship together, and it gives us, you know, the shot in the arm that we need, some people say, or the dose of scripture or the fellowship that encourages us to keep going. And I hope it's all that and more. But it is supposed to be something that begins a pattern for our week that plays out in our lives every single day. And I hope that as we go throughout our series together, that portion of thankfulness and gratefulness connected to worship is what we can all learn to do better. Because when we do that, we really are fulfilling our purpose here on earth. Let's pray together. Father God, when we think of what Jesus has done for us, and we think about the communion that we've just had together that centers us around the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, we know and we recognize, Father, what great lengths you went to make sure that you could have a relationship with us, that we could be forgiven of our sins. And Father, we often are guilty of not only not appreciating that every single day, but Father, maybe even living with some bitterness, living with some anxiety, living with some negativeness in our own thought process, what words we speak, the way we behave. And Father, we don't want to be seen as people who are bitter and angry at life. We also don't want to go about our lives as if we're the people that are fake and are just putting on a happy smile. But there is a third way, Father, provided by Jesus, that we can live with deep joy and appreciation for who you are and what you've done for us. Help us live right there in that and to be able to show others around us the definition of who our God really is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.